You are listening to local and regional news produced by KMUN with help from our news partners. I'm Skylar Butenchin. It's Wednesday, June 25th. Astoria's Job Corps students and staff are still facing uncertainty after learning 1 month ago that Tongue Point and nearly 100 other Job Corps centers across the nation had been slated to close after receiving no funding in the proposed federal budget. On Friday, U.S. Representative Suzanne Bonamici met with Tongue Point Job Corps students and staff at Clatsop Community College's Mertz campus. Bonamici reiterated her support for Job Corps. She told students and staff that she's using every tool at her disposal to protect Job Corps, including signing onto a letter of support for the program with nearly 200 of her Democrat and Republican colleagues. Tongue Point students and alumni spoke at the meeting last week, describing Job Corps as not just a training program, but as a second chance and a lifeline. Other community members also had their say. Columbia Memorial Hospital CEO Eric Thorson stressed the importance of Tongue Point's medical assistant program, and executive director of the Harbor, Terry Steenbergen, emphasized how the center's support for students plays a critical role in violence prevention. The potential closure of Tongue Point Job Corps Center could leave about 20 local students and 14 staff and their families without housing. Earlier this week, the Astoria City Council approved a resolution expressing continued support for Tongue Point. In the resolution, they said, "The center enhances the lives of its students and contributes to the economic vitality of the Astoria area." The city councilors also signed off on a letter of support outlining the local and regional benefits of the center and the impacts the area could see if it closes. A temporary restraining order against the closure that was already extended once by a federal judge ends today. Some information in this story comes to us through a news partnership with The Astorian. Read more online at dailyastorian.com. Earlier this week, the Astoria City Council signed off on a pledge of $200,000 to go toward the Copeland Commons Affordable Housing Project. The project could bring more than 60 new workforce and lower-income units to downtown Astoria at the former State Hotel on Marine Drive. The nonprofit Copeland Commons Group has been working in collaboration with Innovative Housing Incorporated, a Portland-based developer that also oversaw the redevelopment of Astoria's former Merwin Hotel into lower-income and workforce apartments. The funding pledged by the City of Astoria aims to help Copeland Commons close a funding gap of $700,000. With an estimated total of $29 million, the project has faced numerous hurdles in recent years. One ongoing challenge is a requirement by the state to pay union wages, an additional cost to the project of about $2.5 million. Innovative Housing has appealed the decision. The Chinook Indian Nation is looking to acquire roughly 400 acres of wetland right on the border of Raymond, Washington. The property borders over 2 miles of the Willapa River and its inlets. It's currently owned by Silvamantle LLC, based in Gig Harbor, and has been appraised at $470,000. Two conservation groups, Western Rivers Conservancy and the Columbia Land Trust, are working with the Chinook tribe to acquire the wetland property with federal grant funding. Last week, the two groups, along with Chinook representatives, met with the Pacific County Commission to ask for the board's support in applying for the grants. The purchase is now progressing through an expedited process and is expected to conclude next April. This story comes to us through a news partnership with the Chinook Observer. Read more online at chinookobserver.com. It's been 1 year since the U.S. Supreme Court upheld Grants Pass's ban against homeless people camping in public. That reverberated across the U.S., freeing up cities everywhere to crack down on homeless encampments. But Jefferson Public Radio's Jane Vaughn reports that Grants Pass still can't clear all the homeless camps.
Downtown, there are 4 homeless camps on city property within 2 blocks. The city has fenced them in, providing porta-potties and dumpsters near clusters of tents and other belongings. Kate Huckert lives across the street with her boyfriend and children and says they call the police multiple times a day for things like fighting and drug use.
We're right there, so it's really scary and disturbing what we're having to deal with.
Dozens of people live in tents just steps away from City Hall. This is not where Grants Pass thought it would be 1 year after its big win at the U.S. Supreme Court. That ruling struck down lower courts that barred cities from enforcing anti-camping laws unless there was enough capacity in shelters for homeless people. So the city began clearing tents from parks again. Residents were hopeful their homelessness crisis would finally be solved. But then, in January, the city was sued again for breaking state laws, both disability protections and House Bill 3115, which says cities' public camping regulations must be, quote, objectively reasonable, but that term isn't clearly defined. Now, camping bans are again mostly blocked here by the judge hearing that lawsuit until it's resolved, and she ordered Grants Pass to create more camping spaces.
This is threatening to break our whole neighborhood.
Huckert says she spent $10,000 on security upgrades for her home.
It was a massive uptick in crime. We had mail theft 2 days ago. It's so scary.
Her boyfriend, Mike Servant, says Grants Pass likes to play the victim of state law, rather than acknowledging that the city council's own actions, in his view, led to the lawsuit in the first place. And he's frustrated with how living across from a tent city has changed his perspective on homelessness.
You know, I'm a bleeding heart liberal. From way back. This has made me harden my heart a lot. I'm much more callous about them, and I don't like that.
People living in the homeless camps are also frustrated with the city. Kimberly Marie says Grants Pass isn't helping its homeless residents enough.
They're doing as little as possible, as long as they can get away with it.
She'd rather see leaders focus on building more affordable housing. Council members in this conservative city say it's laws passed by liberal state lawmakers that make it so hard for them to solve homelessness. They say that's not the city's job. They'd rather see local nonprofits take it on. Dr. Scott Nelson, board chair of the homeless services nonprofit Mint, thinks there hasn't been much progress in Grants Pass since the Supreme Court decision last year.
The reality is I don't think much has changed in a year other than we have more people understanding that this isn't a problem that's just going to go away and we have to work together.
He blames the lack of progress on political infighting and says the city didn't plan well for what to do with homeless residents after it won the lawsuit last year.
That was really, I think, the lack of foresight amongst the city leaders, but also the community at large, is that we really needed to have a better plan, and we didn't. We were caught flat-footed.
But even though Grants Pass can't cite people for sleeping in public because of the state lawsuit, last year's U.S. Supreme Court decision allows cities across the country to do so, says Sarah Rankin, a professor at Seattle University School of Law.
Permission to punish unhoused people really is becoming the policy to punish, right? And so cities are accepting that invitation.
As the Trump administration proposes cuts to public housing, food, and healthcare programs, Eric Tarz with the National Homelessness Law Center fears the country's homeless population will increase.
Criminalization of homelessness has never solved homelessness. It hasn't worked for the past 40 years since these laws have started to be building up, and it never will.
Rankin and Tarz say punishing homeless people for living in public spaces is expensive and ineffective. They advocate for longer-term solutions like affordable housing instead. For now, Grants Pass is working on a grant for a nonprofit to create a new homeless shelter. The lawsuit charging them with failing to properly regulate people without housing remains in state court. I'm Jane Vaughn reporting.
You're listening to news from KMUN. To hear us on the air and catch national news from NPR, tune in to 91.9 FM. Morning news begins at 7:59 every weekday. And of course, you will always be able to find today's local and regional news here at KMUN.org. To contact the KMUN News Department, email us at news1@KMUN.org. That's news, the numeral 1, at KMUN.org.